Welcome to your brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends gather around together in order to save the world from a flying spaghetti monster. As always, I'm your Starbucks employee, Zach, and joined with me is the trash can feline himself,
Zach,
and Sklurge.
God.
Hey.
I hate that we do that so much. It's always that.
It's like an Arnold impersonation.
See, I went with the Shrek approach because I'm like, oh, it looks like an ogre, so it's Shrek. Get out of this kitchen.
Nah, Sklurge just looks dead inside.
Dead eyes, two buck teeth, two what should be fangs, God. But they're flat.
Okay, let's put this into perspective. That is like the classical definition of an ogre, but step in the other direction.
Look to the child that you put in the attic.
Oh, no. That's the child. New ginger character that we unlocked in Overcooked, where literally we beat a level of hell and then we unlock him. And it's just like, oh.
Well, you have Satan on our team now.
Yeah.
Or not even Satan, but Satan's demented child.
Yeah. Hey, see, we have to play a versus mode and we can get an achievement. Anyways. Lots of things did not happen this week, as always.
Some things happened.
You know, just we're running a weekly podcast. We talk about everything and anything in between, and then we actually forget what happens during the rest of the week, I feel like.
I have to, like, go back and scroll through the past 7 days, usually.
Yeah, I have to go through our group chat messages and see if there's anything of value. But the very first thing, speaking of female superhero characters, Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
The greatest
are you trying to say that Doctor Who isn't a superhero, Zach? Huh? Is that what you're trying to say?
Not in the traditional sense.
What are we talking about?
We were arguing if Captain Marvel, or not Captain Marvel, Doctor Who is not a superhero.
Yeah. They wear a cape-esque trench coat.
Sometimes.
Travel through time.
Has a weapon or a magic armament.
Tool.
A screwdriver, if you will.
Travels through the inner dimensions.
Peter Capaldi, they gave him...
glasses.
Yeah, sonic sunglasses. I'm not a fan of it.
So they combined the 3D glasses that David Tennant always wore in a suit.
No, they're just sunglasses.
They just took like generic black frame sunglasses and made it into a sonic screwdriver.
Well, that's not exciting at
all. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but boy howdy, I'm catching up on Doctor Who. I'm a season and a half behind now, but they got, like, after the first season of Capaldi, the second one got a lot better. Like, I'm a lot more invested in the Capaldi Doctor now because he's actually a good character now.
I mean, isn't that kind of how... I feel like a lot of Doctor Who is... That's the trend, is like the new one comes in. Oh, are we going to like this guy? Like, it feels like the same with Matt Smith. Like, when Matt Smith came in, it was like, oh, I don't know if I like this guy.
I still don't.
I like Matt Smith.
Oh, I love Matt Smith from the get-go. Not as good as David Tennant, but...
Matt Smith was like, he was trying to run away from all his problems.
So, everyone's favorite coworker.
Oh, he's back?
Well, he's been out on
Senor
sick leave.
Spoiler.
He's been out on sick leave. But my manager and I finally talked him into watching Doctor Who, because we talk about it frequently. Like, to the point where we were out, I mentioned to her, because I saw, like, just 10 minutes before, they announced the release date for the new season. And I was like, hey... See, they announced a premiere date for Doctor Who, and she just stops everything, turning to me, when? Like, yes. But, yeah.
Good.
Senor Spoils. We finally talked him into watching it. Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Let me guess, he hates all of it.
No. He likes Doctor Who. It's just his, So what would be your order of, just from the reboot... favorite doctors? Just if you had to take the four that have been there so far.
Out of the ones I've watched, Tennant, and then Matt Smith, and then Eccleston's okay.
Tennant, Eccleston, Smith, Capaldi. Actually, I never watched the Capaldi season, so it's not unfair for me to put him at the bottom of the list.
Eccleston.
He says Eccleston is the best doctor. Hates all of Matt Smith. Like, hates him.
Matt Smith's kind of that way.
And then says David Tennant.
Yeah, either loved it or he hated it.
Well, it all depends on, like, who's your doctor. Like, whatever first episode of Doctor Who you watch. Like...
See, I started from the beginning, and I still put Eccleston. I think I'd have him tied with Capaldi by now. I think I'd go Tennant, Smith, Capaldi, Eccleston.
See, I just really appreciate Tennant because my first episodes were Silence in the Library and then The Weeping Angels.
I feel like Tennant had the widest range of emotion for all the doctors that have come. Like, he could be really serious, but at the same time, he could be, like, off doing, like, dicking around and just having fun.
And I think the only reason I appreciate the Ninth Doctor at all is because that's where we got the blooming blossoms of the Rose romance, and she's by far still the best supporting character of the entire series, other than Donna.
Donna is, definitely up there.
Same with spoils.
Hates Donna.
Hates Donna.
God, Donna's so great.
He puts her...
Donna is the best, like, character development.
As his least favorite companion.
But, like... So Rose gets thrown in, and by the time we get to, like, Tennant, she's just like, okay, I accept all these things. Donna, every single moment is just, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck is this?
Her first episode, where she just experienced everything, and then as soon as, like, they bring her back, she's ready to go. She's searching for the doctor. Like, how is that not a great companion?
So your coworker just hates women.
No.
Whoa, now.
It's a bold claim.
Strong supporting characters. He hates them. Just happens to be a female character.
Supporting character
and independent.
Yeah,
so he hates strong, independent women.
So he puts Donna towards the bottom of his list of companions. Which honestly, I put Martha towards the bottom.
I like Martha.
She's great.
Martha's okay.
She's great,
but
she doesn't add much.
Yeah, she didn't. I feel like she didn't.
She was a placeholder.
She didn't. Yeah, she didn't add as much development to the Doctor.
Let's be real. Mickey is the bottom.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't even consider Mickey a companion.
He's
luggage every now and again.
Ouch.
He goes on like two adventures with
like,
him and does nothing.
It's not like Amy and Rory.
Yeah.
Or even though Rory's like the secondary one, he's still super important.
Rory started as luggage, but then became a full-time companion. I consider Captain Jack more of a companion than Mickey.
Yeah. It's fair. But I mean, it's Captain Jack. It's hard to pass up.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like everything from the David Tennant era is just like the best. Like, I've tried. I gave Matt Smith a really good chance. I grew to like him, but there's an energy that just wasn't there.
And I feel like Tennant was like the quintessential, like, what you expect from Doctor Who.
Yeah, I mean, he has the best outfit too.
Yeah, his trench coat and all his silly accessories.
Granted, Capaldi has like the really badass suit jacket.
Yeah.
And the guitar.
He does look suave. Matt Smith's whole storyline was like, it focused on like one thing, and it was like this super over. It was more focused on the overarching narrative more than Tennant was. I felt like Tennant had one, but it was definitely more of like, all right, this is how we're gonna round things out.
It, to me, when I think about the Matt Smith, it's about like usually the stories are 85 to 90% the Doctor and then companions.
Right.
The this Matt way, Smith yeah, it era, was flopped. It was always, I'd say it was like 50-50. Like, the majority of the Matt Smith run, like, during the Pawns, it was all about finding out about River and Amy and all of that, and Rory and the Centurion and all of that. And then it came to Clara, and it was still 50-50 Dr. Clara.
Unpopular opinion. I like Clara better than the Pawns.
Okay, I was hoping I would like Clara more, but
like I said, that's the really extreme unpopular.
I will say, I love Clara. I don't know why the subreddits of Doctor Who hate Clara so much. I love her.
They hate women.
I didn't hate her character, but she felt like she was kind of a throwaway character with how like they revealed at the end. It's like, oh, she's not really there.
She's a lot better with Capaldi.
Okay,
like yeah, she was a very much like, you're just here to finish out
the
Matt Smith. But with Capaldi, she is such a better character. Like, in the third episode of season 9 is where I was like, this is probably one of my favorite companions. Because they were in a underwater mining facility, and one of the crew of the mine just died. But they're in another room, and the doctor's just... kind of realized like, oh, they're actual ghosts, and starts freaking out, like fangirling over them of like, they're ghosts. Do you not understand that they're ghosts? We need to talk to them. And then Clara pulls them aside and he pulls out note cards. They cycles through for any time he's an ass. So it's like, use the cards, flips through. I am sorry about the death of your friend slash pet slash coworker. I need to be more sensitive. But ghosts. It's like, where was this the first season of Capaldi?
Largely, I just blame Moffat.
Yeah. Isn't he finally leaving?
Yeah, he's done
he's
now.
He's been gone.
Well, he ended with Capaldi. So a new writer's taking over with Jodie Whittaker.
I think that was kind of like I was kind of done with Moffat's writing at that point.
He had some good episodes. Like,
That was what he was always good at, was like a single episode. Like I felt like he had problems writing an overarching narrative. Like, he focused on many things. Like, one thing too hard.
Like, what they're doing in the current season I'm in is everything gets, I think just two episodes. Like, it's 1 to 2 episodes of closed stories, which are fantastic.
That's very similar to, like, the Russell T. Davies approach, where it wasn't that overarching plot. It was just, like there monster was,
like,
of the week.
There was, like, hints. Yeah, there were hints of, like, the overarching plot. Like, it was all driving towards something, but that it was more about the journey rather than the destination.
Yeah, like, I really do appreciate, like, the 50th anniversary. Like, that was some of Moffat's best writing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But then that gets followed up with Death of the Doctor or whatever, Matt Smith's like final hurrah, and I was just like,
I think so.
Okay, this isn't as good as I hoped. Like, especially the end montage of just watching Matt Smith get old. I'm just like,
the transition was very like underwhelming. It wasn't like Tenet's where it's like I don't want to go.
I don't want to go right after him like saying goodbye to all the previous companions.
Yeah,
that was Zach's first episode.
Yep,
he walked in on me watching it, and I'm just like, hey, this is the season finale of a show I watch. Welcome.
Like the whole Matt Smith getting old thing, like the Doctor doesn't get old, they're ageless beings. They mm-hmm. when they die, they transition. All that really added was A, giving a new Doctor, and B, filling in the gap where I don't know if it was back in the originals or what, that they said that the Doctor can only regenerate.
Yeah, it was the original 13,
I think 12 times.
Yeah, so 12 plus the original, and so then they're essentially writing new lore at this point.
Yeah, well, and then he essentially wasted one with the War Doctor.
Yeah,
so and then Matt Smith was going to be
the final,
the
one,
the end, and then they're like MacGuffin.
Yeah,
more Doctors.
50th anniversary is like, yes, you'll live much longer than you think, and you'll even experience some old faces. And it's Tom Baker telling him. And it's like, oh my god, the curator of the museum is actually the Doctor. That's like, I don't know if that ever got confirmed, but like, if you look at the museum, it has the little circles from the TARDIS and everything else. So a lot of people speculate the curator, who was a former Doctor, is the current Doctor at that point, but he just adopted a new name at that point. Hmm. So it's kind of like, again,
back to the time is a wibbly wobbly.
Yeah.
Wibbly wobbly.
I'm really
stuff.
Willing to give this newest season a chance just because it's like, it's something way different and out there.
It's the first ever female Doctor, which, again, going way back, they've said before the Doctor can be a woman. Matt Smith, for a second, they said, oh, I thought I was a woman for a second there.
Long hair?
Long hair, squeaky voice, like, oh, I'm not a woman. He said he could be a woman. So shut up.
Now, here's the thing, though. I was diving, like, really hard into existential lore. What pronoun would you use to refer to the Doctor at now? Is it... Is it the singular they?
I feel like it's mostly like they always refer to him as the Doctor.
I think, yeah,
no
it's
good. What.
I think they'll probably refer to the Doctor as they, but probably on Earth they'll use the pronoun of her.
Yeah.
I'd be curious if, like, because even they, like going back to, like, see, did they just always refer to him as the Doctor? Like, they never gave him an actual pronoun?
I think, like, whenever they've been on Earth, they've referred to the Doctor as he. Because, again, Earth, we use pronouns to be like, that person's a dude, he. Like that. But other alien races, I don't know if they've ever referred to the Doctor as him, he.
I don't know.
His.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw this argument on Facebook. It's like, well, if I'm going to refer it to the first 12 iterations of the Doctor, it'll be a he, but the 13th Doctor will be a she. I'm like, yeah, and then we have the singular they, yeah, which is like, annoys me as a grammar person, but I totally understand the purpose of it. But it's just like, we really do and just need to stop using like pronouns.
At the same time, though, if you're talking about, because if the Doctor has a male, like only a male companion, which I think they've already showed like two companions,
yeah,
a guy and a girl. But I like when you're talking about the show, usually referring to it with a pronoun, I'm more thinking of who's portraying the role. Of like, yeah, the Doctor went and got his TARDIS because it's currently a male. So you're pinpointing the male character went and got the TARDIS.
Yeah, I don't know. I just was,
say the Doctor itself is probably a sexless being.
Yeah.
It's like we're putting human things on a non-existent creature. Alien species that just also, so happens to look human.
Fiction.
Yeah. Here's an amazing quote I heard earlier this week of that fiction has to has to apply to the rules of nonfiction more than nonfiction has to apply the rules of fiction.
Yeah. If you think about it, it's like, oh, so this is based on a true story.
Yeah, like
it's
those like unbelievable stories of like, had this shouldn't happen, but this is real life. But then everybody looks at Lord of the Rings is like, that wasn't realistic. It's like, it's a fucking fantasy world. Why does this have to apply the rules?
It's something that a lot of people are missing nowadays is this magical concept called suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
or
like,
just accepting like,
I'm gonna
rules. Like, really think about it. You're talking about an alien who just happens to look human, doesn't exist really, and flies around in a fucking police box that's bigger on the inside.
But the fact that they're a woman just really fucks with people.
What's next? Real female doctors?
And I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but this kind of relates back to a further discussion point about The Witcher. So they announced Henry Cavill's going to be Geralt.
Hold on, real quick side note. The original point was that the new Doctor Who season premieres October 7th.
So glad we got 17 minutes in and we got to that.
We got way fucking away from that of the premiere date is October 7th.
Beautiful.
So Henry Cavill got cast as Geralt, and I'm really excited.
I just love that it was like, oh yeah, this is like an offhand comment. By the way, I guarantee like the casting call went like, hey, we heard you'd be interested in playing Geralt. Yeah, sure. All right.
I just like to imagine that he went and auditioned for the role, and then right after the audition, he was cheeky and be like, I want to be Geralt.
Well, it was an interview that somebody just asked him, like, would you like to play Geralt? It was just some random interview.
Right, and I'm wondering if he had the audition before, and he's
right,
like,
yeah, he already was there.
And I wonder if he, like, maybe fed the question towards it, like, ask me this. It's like, you want to be Geralt? Of course I do. Ooh. Fan outcry.
I love
cry.
That game.
Fuck, yeah. Now I got to give him the role.
Or it's not even
it
the
fan
outcry.
I think it was more people like, huh, that'd be interesting.
Like, I just want to imagine that they're
so maybe
like,
outcry is the wrong word.
It was more
fan
like,
support.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, if he got it, I'd be behind it.
So
still sad Matt Mercer didn't get it.
It's okay.
No, what I was thinking is that like the cast or the casting directors are just in a basement with a dartboard. And it's like Mads Mikkelsen, Henry Cavill, Smaug Heckenborg, Jamie Lannister, whatever his real name is. I don't know his real name because Rooster Teeth always called him Smaug Heckenborg.
It is Jorgen.
We've done this before.
I know his last name is like Caster Waldorf.
Yeah.
But it's like they just have a dartboard and they just threw all these people that were like,
who
should be our Geralt? Throw. Or again, like Steve said,
flies off and hits a critical role poster.
He already,
Matt Mercer
had his NDA signed that he can't talk about being in the Witcher series and then fed the question. It's like, yeah, no, it would be really cool to play Geralt. Wink.
Cough, cough, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
But, so people are pissed.
About a different reason.
Yeah. So a casting call has popped up in the United Kingdom for Ciri, the young ward of Geralt of Rivia. And the details of the call have garnered a huge controversy in the fandom. Posted on the website for the National Youth Theater in the United Kingdom, the casting call for the upcoming Witcher TV series is reportedly seeking a teenager to play Ciri, a young orphan who's...
Did you see her actual...
Yeah, Ciri. Cirilla.
Cirilla.
Okay.
Gasarilla, whose actual fate involves royalty and potent magic. Skipping, according to the casting call, which may or may not be legitimate, Netflix is looking for a BAME, BAME actress, which stands for Black, Asian, and other non-white minority ethnic actresses. So, people are pissed.
People's main issue with that is she's canonically white because it's a Polish series.
Like, you look at Poland, you see a lot of white.
Because that's what their ethnic group is.
Especially back in medieval white.
Well, I mean, it's a dark Poland. Fantasy world. But
it's, right, but
it's still a very Polish series. Like, there's a lot of, like, racial tension issues discussed in there based on Polish racial tensions.
But it's a fantasy world.
True. But I'm just, I'm playing the role of, I can see what the argument is based off, like,
devil's advocate. There is, I'm trying to think of the right word, not reason, but
explanation.
Yeah, there are explanations for why series should be played by a white
person. But it's still the same argument, and I'm going to bring up two old arguments. First argument being, why does Danny Rand have to be white? And then the second argument, why does a kid from New York have to be white to be bitten by a spider? Spiders don't discriminate. So true. It's like, it's the whole Donald Glover approach where he was like, yeah, I could do Peter Parker. I was raised poor. I could understand that living with my auntie and then yada, yada, yada. And it's like, yeah, Spider-Man's thing could be anything. Miles Morales had a much happier life growing up as Spider-Man. He has both parents.
True.
That's an A+. He's like a million leagues over Peter Parker now.
Although I can argue the Danny Rand thing. Because he was an outsider. Yes, he could have been Asian, but he would be a little more accepted if he was Asian. But a white person in an Asian monastery is so far outsider.
It's true. And we were watching, this goes back to Crazy Rich Asians. Great movie. Hope they do make the sequel, Crazy Rich Girlfriend, or something along the lines. I thought it
was Crazy China.
Chinese Girlfriend.
China Rich.
Yeah, China Rich.
But, like, in that film, they had a really great moment, and it's like, you may look Chinese, you may speak Chinese, but you are not Chinese where it counts. They will not accept you. And I'm like, holy shit, this is so much of me growing up. I understand this plight. Still not my Black Panther, but holy shit, this is growing up while Asian. And especially half Asian.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a casting call. Like, it's amazing that we've gotten to the point where now we're upset at casting calls. Like, yes, maybe that's what they're looking for. Maybe they find someone completely outside of that. We don't know yet because it hasn't even been cast. Yeah.
Let's go.
Again, to play devil's advocate, you mentioned it was a fantasy world.
Yes, it is.
What if some of the major roles in Lord of the Rings were
changed?
Right. You personally don't care. What do you think the fan outcry would be? Where they've given straight descriptions of what these people look like, and then suddenly Aragorn...
Please say Asian. Damn it. I love Aragorn.
I think that's a lot of people's... Again, they're going with a whole new interpretation, more closer to the books, but even then, that's like... Now you're going into the more, even more Polish resource.
Yeah, and one thing too, like, one thing I love about Altered Carbon, especially with season 2 coming up, it's like, as upset as I am that the main character, Takashi, was Asian for all of 5 minutes, and then
probably had one of the most badass scenes.
Yeah, and then he was fucking, what's his dick from Suicide Squad? I can't remember his name. But it's like, season 2, it wasn't Armie Hammer.
No, Armie Hammer was on Suicide Squad.
He was Rick Flag. Whatever. But it's like, season 2 is like, yeah, we're going to have to transport you to solve another case. Instead of sending your body, we're just going to send you Chip. And he wakes up and he's Anthony Mackie. And I'm like, that's cool. Granted, still not Asian. But, like,
hey,
it's the whole, like, it doesn't matter who this character is.
That goes to the second point of people are like, oh, well, I was excited for this series, but not anymore. It's just like, really? You're not even going to give it a chance. Like, how can
That's racist.
Yeah. Like, yes, I get why you're a little upset that they're not going with the canonical approach to a character. But we don't, one, it hasn't been confirmed yet. Two, that could be an old-ass casting or casting call. They might have found someone that's fit the role perfectly. It's like, okay, well, this isn't exactly what we were looking for, but hey, this person fits the role exactly what we want here.
Yeah, it's like there's even certain characters that appear in popular media, especially like in some of the other X-Men films. It's like, or not even X-Men films, but it's like, look, race bend. No one bats an eye.
I mean, look at fucking Psylocke.
Psylocke was canonically a white person.
Exactly.
Who gets transferred into an like, Asian person's right. body, but she's white again in the comics. Just why? Yeah, why do we have to? But it's, I just don't even know. Like, it, more than anything, it bothers me that there is absolute outrage at this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, so but if, why?
If someone can play the role, who the fuck cares what race they are?
Like maybe
if, it'll, if they maybe, play the role better than anybody else, any white person could play the role, why should it matter?
I think what pissed me off more was, shouldn't have done this, but I went to the Reddit comments of this thread.
Oh honey,
I know. I was like, I'm in. This is gonna go bad, right?
But did like, you at least put your hazmat suit on for all the toxicity?
I did because it was bad. The first comment was, I guess they're going for the Starfire hooker approach. I'm just like, wow, go fuck yourself.
Just let me dust off the soapbox here. One scene in a fucking trailer.
Yeah.
Get over yourself. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. It's a non-existent fictional
there is so
alien.
Much fucking content out there that you probably enjoy already. Like just this one thing being something not to your liking, you'll go find something else. There's plenty of fucking shit out there nowadays. Like there's too much.
Did we ever talk about the Crunchyroll show that they're making?
It's like vaguely
spice and. Something
and wolf?
No, not spice and wolf. Or something in spice. It's a
sugar and spice and everything nice.
It's a new show that they're that Crunchyroll is.
Are we done with Witcher rage?
Do we got anything else?
I'm good. I made my point. Like we don't know yet. They're still fucking casting the thing. Show won't be out for a while.
Yeah, the subreddit's still like super active. It's been a week. I don't know.
The Witcher subreddit? Or
yeah, the Siri casting discussion is on the Witcher subreddit right now. It's been refreshed to just yesterday. And it's just like, look, let's be civil here or else we're banning you. And it's just like, yeah, it's a whole thing. And I have very strong feelings and I need to sit down more to discuss these long feelings with myself. But it's just like,
are you reading a
comment?
Why is this
a problem?
You're just referring to yourself again.
Yeah.
Speaking, it sounded like you were reading a comment.
No, it's just me speaking
to
myself.
You have no ties to The Witcher either.
I don't care. Like, again, even if it's Lord of the Rings, and I understand a lot of our medieval fantasy is based upon Europe and medieval Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Even Game of Thrones, which is Western, literally England flipped around to a 90 degree angle. That is the map of Westeros. Having different races, and I'm just like, I just
well, and
don't understand.
Said like, you look, and the people of Westeros are all white, but then when you go to like the Middle East part of the world,
still Westeros. The entire planet is just Westeros.
Well, no, Westeros is the west, and
right.
there's East Essos.
And it's still England upside down.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not Ireland flipped upside
no,
down?
The Westeros part is England. But,
yes.
But then it's essentially the whole map, the world map flipped upside down. It's like where you would
so,
go.
So yeah, it would be.
You
so
would go.
Essos is.
Yeah, you would go to the east to get to the Middle East. But
okay, there's only three continents on the entire map.
Oh, speaking of continents, did you see that in the Overwatch announcement video for all the 8 new teams. For some reason, England was missing on the map. It's just like, what? Why do you have a map that has England not there?
Fuck them.
That was my question.
So the show I'm talking about is called High Guardian Spice.
Okay.
It essentially looks like Little Witch, but with like D&D classes. So they're like, there's a wizard, there's a warrior, there's someone who's kind of like a barbarian.
Wait, I'm going to stop you. Are they transported to this world?
No.
Okay, good.
But the entire creative team.
It's not an isekai. Good.
Dodge the bullet. But I'm hoping end of the season someone just appears in the world.
Fuck! With a smartphone. Like,
and what are you? An acrobat. Dungeons and Dragons the cartoon! You're back! God, still my favorite fucking opening of any cartoon just because it's so random. Be you warrior, ranger, wizard, acrobat! It's like, did you just pick a name out of a hat there, wizard?
What was the acrobatic class? Because now it's just a skill.
I'd say it's more like a monk, but it was still just acrobat. But anyway, so the big, like, what was getting a lot of buzz around this show was, I think they said 50% of the team working on it, like animators, everything, is female. The entire writing team, 100% of the writing team, female.
Oh, no.
People are trying to boycott Crunchyroll. They're trying to get others, like, cancel your subscription, illegally pirate anime, until they stop trying to do this social justice warrior crap.
Why is it always that?
Okay. That's not racist. That's sexist. Just pointed that out there.
Yes, thank you.
Like, if they mentioned, like, they had, like, a 5-minute video talking about it. And one time, just one time through the whole video, did they mention that the writing team was all female and that a majority of the team working on the show is female.
It's like if people
and everyone in the comments was just like, man, they're just all talking about social justice warrior issues and like, oh, this is.
Did you see Matt Wilson's tweet today?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
It's like, keep going, Steve. Is your masculinity that fucking threatened?
Yeah, that by fucking fragile?
By a cartoon is written by females.
It'd be like if you were offended that Shirobako, 90% of that cast is female, making anime.
It's like, ready for me to blow your fucking mind here, all of you people who are threatened by this? Full Metal Alchemist, that show you love so fucking much, written by a woman.
Click, click, bang. Assassinated there.
Other shows, like I think even Rurouni Kenshin.
That was a dude. And was he's a pedophile.
There was another big one that was right. That was written by a female.
That was unfortunate.
Not Rurouni Kenshin.
No, not Rurouni Kenshin. I don't know why.
Yu Yu Hakusho?
I think Yu Yu Hakusho was written by a woman.
But it's like, why would that matter?
Why does that fucking bother you?
Here, let's just point out this. It's like, if this is a group of people lashing out, it's like, but look, they're Japanese cartoons. They can be anything, and people don't care.
Or, here's a magical thing. It's not made for you. Not everything in this whole wide world is made for you.
But
if
Steve,
you don't like it,
shut
the fuck up and walk away.
But Steve, I have a voice, and I have to use it. That's why I tell my students, just because you have a voice doesn't mean you have to use it.
Saying, that's the downfall of the internet. Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean you need to share it always. Like, I've had opinions about other things too. Like, when I first saw High Guardian Spies, watched the video, I'm like, oh, that's neat. Moved on with my life. Like, maybe I'll watch the first couple episodes.
There's an approach I've been trying to take as of late of, does this bother me? Or does this affect me personally? No. Do I dislike this thing? Yeah, a little bit, but at the end of the day, there's plenty of other things I'm happy
with.
Does this
affect me on a human level?
Like, does this actually interfere with my life? No.
Guess what?
Cool.
Makes you a wildly happy, more happy person.
It's not like they're in the video.
I'm fucking upset at everything.
And they're like, yeah, it's written all by women who hate Greg Johnson. And then Greg Johnson's like,
oh,
fuck those guys!
I tried to burn down his house in D&D.
God, poor Greg.
I don't know why my go-to name is Greg.
I don't know. It's fucking Greg.
Greg did nothing to you. But yeah, it's
so polite.
Dumb. I feel like we're good. I think what's nice is, though, like, I've been seeing this a lot more recently, is a lot of, like, influencer, but a lot of them are like, yo, we need to start, like, having conversations with people. Like, we've gone too far. Like, just because you disagree with something does not mean you need to get mad at them. You can have a fucking
Zach, ninja
conversation here.
It's like, Myth actually came out. He's a 19-year-old kid, streams Fortnite on Twitch, and he fully came out and said, yeah, if you are, like, racist, sexist, whatever, an overall idiot, just negative and toxic in any way, you don't belong in my streams. And then, like, people were like, oh, unfollow Myth. And it's like, yeah, that's what he wants you to do.
I was gonna say, like,
good job.
He doesn't want you.
Congratulations, he wins. Because you did exactly what he wanted you to do. You think you're sending him a message, be like, I'm going to unfollow him. Fuck him. Meanwhile, I was like, good.
Happy community in the Myth household.
I'm still like, that's why I like some of the communities I follow, like the Game Grumps. They are such a positive fucking group.
Even most of the
there's always the people who are like, you guys fucking suck at games. This is terrible. Why do you keep doing this?
Why do you watch them?
Yeah, meanwhile, everyone else is like, it's like, yeah, you guys suck at games, but that's why I love the show.
That's why it's funny.
Yeah, that's why Achievement Hunter is so great.
It's kind of like I always get, like, it's almost like Critical Role, where it's like, I've yet to, like, see, like, a super negative critter. Like, they'll have, like, opinions about, like, oh, well, I disagreed with, like, this decision they made, or I didn't like the way this came out.
There's the Ashley Birch.
Well, yeah, the worst I've ever seen. That was, like, the worst. There are two situations with Ashley Birch, and then when, in the first campaign, when Sam debuted his new character, Tarion, and then it turned out that he was gay. Of, while doing the role-playing of him kind of talking about he had feelings for another man, and, like, he had intense feelings and doesn't feel that way about women, it kind of, like, they played off it in a jokey manner, you know, as the characters would role-play as, and the community was not happy about it. And Matt Mercer, when he first did his fireside chat, talked about that, of, like, that was never their intention. Like, he got super emotional and deep about it. And after that, community was fine. Like,
yeah, like, I mean, there's moments where it's like, people are like, yo, I don't think this was right. But it's not like in a hateful way. They want to have a discussion about it.
Yeah. So, like, I posted pictures of the fucking headshots I bought from someone else. Someone else's artwork that I gave them credit for. So don't at me.
Don't at me, bro.
But, like, I posted those and got, like, 250 likes on it. Just from posting a picture of artwork of, like, I love Critical Role. Everyone's like, fuck yeah, me too. It's like some of the best communities when you get the toxic people out of there.
It's like the what happened this week with, or these past 2 weeks with all the creators coming out. It's like, yeah, fuck everything that exists about Comicsgate.
Yeah.
I do not stand for this. If you don't like it, stop buying my stuff. Stop following me. You guys are not the true comic community. And what's his dick? Sorry, it's totally inappropriate. But the guy who runs Comics and Diversity,
what's his dick is completely.
His comic came out from Patreon, or his, not his Patreon comic, but like his
crowdfunded
one. Like a preview came out for him, and people were like, wow, this is written terribly. And he was one of the people who came out behind the movement of like, yeah, let comic creators write comics. Stop hiring all these people who write goddamn books.
Oh my god, that's right. Something else came out from, like, I think after that preview came out, a page that he wanted to write for
Riri.
Yeah, the Riri Iron Man.
Turned Riri into a villain.
What? Not just a villain, just a fucked up sociopath. She ruined Tony Stark's life, turned him to drinking because she made an accusation about him, probably, you know, going along like something with the Me Too movement, or he did something. And he's like, well, I could, even like one of the lines he wrote was, I can retract the statement, but they're still going to look at me, the poor innocent little black girl. And like, dude,
yeah,
do you not understand fucked. The character of Riri?
And he came out and
that's
was
the
like,
fucking point is, he doesn't give a shit. He's just trying
and
to.
This was a year ago when they were looking for creators.
It's still written fucking terribly.
Yeah, and even then, so like, people are just going off against him. Like, Mags Visalaggio, I don't know how to pronounce her name. She's a trans woman who's just been like putting him on blast all weekend. It's like, hey, where's your hate speech now? Hey, where's this? And he's like, I'm sorry. And hers is just rotten hell as a response. Because, again,
this isn't, like, his first instance. He's been doing this for years.
Exactly. He's a scumbag, but, like,
he tries to throw big-name creators under the bus just because he because he sucks at writing, he can't get a job with the big boys.
Yeah, and it's like, stop hiring all these authors. Didn't... And Gail Simone comes out to the blare of trumpets without DC or any of the other big comic companies just looking for new talent. We would not have Scott Snyder. We would not have Tom King. We would not have Margaret Scott, who's taking over Batgirl. And then Gail Simone goes into her
well, someone like attack Neil Gaiman of all people?
It was him.
Oh my God.
He was trying to use Neil Gaiman as defense.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, well, Neil Gaiman wasn't or had published works before.
Yeah, then Neil Gaiman shut Sandman. Him the
He's just
fuck
like,
down.
Hold on. Just because it is written does not mean it is out in the wild and officially published.
Well, then even Bendis came out and he's like, yeah, my first job at a comic book was I walked in off the street and got an interview and then they hired me.
It's amazing what happens when you try to talk to people who know what the fuck they're talking about.
It's like,
about.
Don't cry about you not getting a job because there are bigger name writers when the big name writers themselves walked in off the streets and showed that they deserve a job.
Scott Snyder and Tom King were both just at a Comic-Con trying to sell the books they wrote. A Once Crowded Sky and Vampire Heart, I think, was Scott Snyder's. Mark Doyle comes along, editor at Vertigo, is like, I like this. What do you got for me? Snyder pitched American Vampire. Scott Snyder gets hired. Scott Snyder pitched Black Mirror. Scott Snyder gets brought over to Detective. Tom King trying to sell his book. Mark Doyle comes walking in, or whoever the Batman editor was at the time. And it's like, give me something.
So maybe the problem is you.
Yeah. So Matt Wilson tweeted this yesterday. He's at Salt Lake. Or FanX Salt Lake. Guy at my table. What's Paper Girls? Me. Goonies meets War of the Worlds. Four paper delivery girls. Guy. Too feminist. Me. What? I mean, the characters are females. And females do exist. So, I guess I really burst his bubble. And it's just like, yeah, it's the whole crazy world of comics game. And I'm glad that people are publicly just like, yeah, no, fuck all of you. And Gail Simone. And Tom Taylor was the one who really like led the charge these past couple of weeks. He's such a cool guy. I want to meet him.
Yeah.
I haven't read anything you wrote, but I love you. Except for All New Wolverine. I read that one.
Yeah.
She's great. Go, Laura.
So speaking of women and comics.
Positive news. 40 fucking 2 minutes in.
First look at Brie Larson as Captain Marvel.
And explains the green suit too.
Yes. I didn't read that.
Well, no, it's the pictures kind of explain it of like since it's already going to, I don't know if they're going to skip or just do like a quick little like flashback. Here's how she got her powers. Move on is she has her powers and she went into space to join
Alpha Flight.
No.
Captain Mar-Vell.
No, it's another
Star Force.
Yes, Star Force.
Star Jammers.
Oh, yeah. She's left early life behind to join elite Kree military called Star Force.
And then it shows her walking with a group of other people, including the guy from Guardians, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Ronan the Accuser.
Well, Ronan, and then the guy from the beginning of
who bans Ronan.
No,
right now
who fights Star Lord. I can't remember his name. Guy with the accent, what the fuck is his name?
I think I know who you're talking about. Part of the Nova Corps?
No, he was one of like the Nomad, or not Nomad, but the other group that was trying to get the orb.
Ravagers?
None of the Ravagers is the crew.
We also got our first looks at the Skrull, and everybody just compared it to fucking Piccolo.
It's fucking Piccolo from Dragon Ball Evolution.
What the second picture was?
Yeah.
So there were.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it was. That's why I said Twitter's kind of ruined this one because I looked at it and like,
there's been
that's fucking Piccolo,
and all of them coming out of the ocean look like they're about to drop a new Christian rock album.
See, that's the one I thought. I was like, that was the, that was are the they meme just of the like week. Posing and whatever else?
That was the meme of the week. But I mean, the costume looks great. Like the blue, golden, red. Yeah. Like,
so which one of these is Piccolo?
It's actual like armor.
The left one.
Which is what I expect.
They look like they're from the same movie. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why Twitter fucking ruined it for me, because I was like, oh, neat, look at these pictures. And then everyone's like, this is all I can see. And it's fucking...
Why the fuck does Piccolo not have his antenna?
He does have his antenna. They're just like pasted to his head. Look, it's from Dragon Ball Evolution. What the fuck are you expecting?
You can't expect much for that movie.
I mean, the scroll looked perfect.
Yeah.
The
scroll looked great.
It looks like scroll.
But at the same time, it looks like fucking, like, looks like they made the scroll years earlier with Dragon Ball Evolution. And call it Piccolo.
So are we going to have a Secret Invasion eventually now? Or whatever that storyline was?
With the scroll just invaded
Secret
Invasion. Captain Miss Marvel was never alive. She was a scroll. It's just as bad as the Cylons.
Oh, yeah, because that was after she gets, like, her power stolen by Rogue, right? And then she was comatose for years. Hey, she was not actually dead, but now she's still gone.
Yeah. That's when Bendis, like, I want to use this toy.
Korath, that was his name. Korath the Pursuer. But yeah, he's part of the group, the Star Force. Where they all have the green outfits on.
Okay.
So that's where that picture came from. Mm-hmm. And then I'm assuming something's going to happen with Ronan, because the picture shows Star Force walking and you see Ronan in the corner.
Yeah, Ronan up until Guardians was actually like a high-class general. Yeah, and he gets banned by the...
I think something's going to happen with them, and then she's going to come back to Earth. Yep. And then Shazam.
Also...
No, that's a different movie.
It was confirmed that Monica Rambeau, so Spectrum, is going to be in the movie in some capacity. So it's like, all right, we're getting our Marvel team. The next thing is Alpha Flight.
Is that going to be like the post-credit scene of, I'm putting together a team? It's like, is this the Avengers? No. It's going to be some sort of...
It's going to be...
A flight of some sort.
You're basically going to be the boss of space.
I'm putting together the ultimate team. Oh, the Ultimates.
No. More like an alpha team.
Beaches punches through a wall and she says, I am here. Yeah. And then the movie ends.
It's like maybe a team that... Alpha team that, I don't know, maybe flies.
But they're all Canadian. So, like...
Yeah,
so it'll be Canadian.
Canadian plus Captain Marvel, who's Bostonian.
I'm putting together a team, eh? I don't know what's a boot yet.
And then we get Nick Fury with two eyes in one of the pictures.
Apparently, like, they're gonna... This movie is, like, how he becomes the character we know.
Can we just, like, flip the script and just have a stupid reason why Nick Fury has to wear the eye patch? Like, he was... cooking something and just oil sprays up and gets him in the eye. Like, son of a bitch!
See, I was
motherfucker!
Really...
Motherfucking Lacus! It's like, whoa, Nick Fury! Whoa! Don't take it on the potato pancake.
Yeah, and so this is like a great little way to show. It's like, yeah, he has the Infinity Serum. He doesn't age. Because he really doesn't that much.
Or no. Burger juice gets in his eye. Because it was a tasty burger.
I was expecting him to like, lift his eye and it was a laser.
Something I hope from this movie is like we get all of her nicknames as she's like training. This is like, okay, Princess Sparkle Fists.
Yeah. I really want like the opening scene just to be her lounging at the beach wearing the swimsuit with the lightning bolt on it.
Just the onesie.
And just be like, yo, Miss Marvel. It's, like, it's Captain Marvel.
There's got to be like... a throwaway thing.
There will
be. Of like the suit is like, what, you want me to wear this?
Like maybe when she comes to Earth before she decides on the red.
Yeah,
and blue,
like they're
it's
going
like,
through all the.
It's
costumes.
Like, how about this? Like, no.
There was a comic. I can't remember what the comic was called, but it goes over like the impossibility of finding the perfect superhero costume, and like hers is one of them. Like they go through like 10 different outfits, and the character explains that they're all terrible. But sorry, that's besides the point. She looks great. I mean. I'm super hyped.
I mean, this whole release was absolutely planned because she...
Hey, let's break the internet.
Like, yeah. Okay, that's...
And she actually did break the internet for a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it.
I know when I went to HOJ, John and Dom were all pulling out, like, oh, crap, where's all the first appearances? Okay, so how much is it going on eBay already? $80? What? And it's just like, once the movie comes out, they're going to be worthless again. Mm. Yeah. Alrighty,
I did see one funny thing of, because Brie Larson was in Sky High, right?
I think so.
I think she was the main bad guy.
Yeah, because she's only like 24, maybe older, maybe like 26 or 7.
I look up Sky High.
Well, because
she's not that old.
I know she was in Scott Pilgrim as the X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. All Scott's exes are almost Marvel characters now.
Yeah.
No, that was Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Okay.
Brie Larson.
She wasn't in it.
Because there was one thing where it was like, someone said, like, it's like, wow, I love Captain Marvel's new outfit, and posted the picture 20, of...
She's 28.
Picture of Royal Pain.
Yeah, that was Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah.
And Patrick Warburton for the voice.
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
Hey, Peter.
I forgot Linda Carter's in the movie.
Yep. As the principal, and she even does the Wonder Woman spin to appear in one scene.
So, moving forward, speaking of the Marvel films, Mark Ruffalo, Avengers 4 reshoots will finish the movie and the plot. And this is coming from to us from Newsarama. He says that we're reshooting starting in September, and then we'll go back into the international tour, and then you guys will get the second installment, which we don't even know what it's going to be yet. We're not just doing reshoots. We're going to finish the movie, which we really didn't get to finish when we left it last year. I don't even know that they really know exactly some of it's happening while we're there. So
what if they're actually done filming just because they don't want Mark Ruffalo to actually spoil the ending?
Yeah, and he says we'll shoot some stuff a few days later, come back and reshoot it because we want to take it in a different direction. It's a living organism, and even as we approach it being a locked picture, we're still working on it. So
like just shoot some random fucking scenes that aren't in the movie just to, if he throws out spoilers that are completely wrong, of like, man, yeah, and then Cthulhu shows up and...
Yeah, Tom Holland didn't even know who he was fighting during the Thanos scene. It's like, all right, CG character, he's really big, he just punched you, go.
What? And then the acrobat from Dungeons & Dragons shows up?
One thing I did see, too...
Fuse from Siege, what are you doing here?
One thing I did see is that Benedict Cumberbatch is the only...
I'm sorry, who?
Barnaby Crumblekill.
Bumblebee Crumble Snatch. Okay.
He's the only character that's actually been given the full script. Because
probably
because
he can keep his fucking mouth shut.
Plus, he's the
Tom Holland Wrangler.
Plays a very important... The words of the article. Like he plays a very important role. Wins. And it's like, weird, when Thanos did the snap, why did the time stone go? And one of the big fan theories I've been seeing lately, now that the movie's out and people are watching it, and like...
Half
speed, is that when he does the snap, the green stone lights up. So people are speculating. It's like, oh, the stone's going to rewind itself back to Titan. And then Tony and Nebula are going to do some weird shit. And it's like, you know, if you think about it too, the time stone's the only one he held it by the aura and not the stone itself. And why would...
And we're talking Doctor Strange here. You think he didn't like, I made a new time stone. Like,
I just saw,
here's the fake one.
I just saw all of the outcomes we win in. How do I make this
not
happen?
All of them. He only saw like 14 million.
Yeah, or it was like 1.5 million or something like that, and they only win one. So
he's like, of course,
if he had more time, if he had like Batman levels of preparation,
I was gonna say,
they
like,
would have been fine.
Like, come on, give Doctor Strange his prep time. Come on, you give Batman prep time.
Yeah,
where's Doctor Strange prep time?
And was it? They said it's like, yeah, we're gonna bring back the Ancient One in the film, and then other stuff. And I'm like, you know, we don't need. It's like just the whole bit of like, yeah, time travel everywhere.
We're gonna bring back the Ancient One. Nothing She's not gonna look like an
nothing
alien.
Goes
this time.
Wrong when we time travel, right? Yeah. Steins Gate.
Hey, time travel helps save the world in Doctor Strange.
Time travel helped the world in Steins Gate.
Eventually,
we'll get there.
It also caused all of its problems.
Fucking crazy.
Well, I mean, technically, the lack of time travel fucked everything up.
But it's all Curacy's fault. Her theory.
Yeah. World War III doesn't start if Curacy doesn't exist.
I mean...
World War III doesn't
start
unless Curacy doesn't die.
Yeah.
But then that leaves, like, a bunch of plot holes. It's like... But what about Coggery? Where is she in the original Steins Gate show?
It's still in the future, I guess. Or it's only in that, or it's only isolated in that one timeline or world line.
It's true.
Well, no, because the Coggery thing still happened. Suzaw just never mentions it because Okabe goes back in time with her, so everything gets right. So she has no need to be like, "Oh, BT Dubs, I lost someone in the past." Because, like, all right, we go, we save her, World War III never happens, I never lose her in the past.
Fair. I can get into your logic
there. The before Zero starts was the scene where Suzuha came back and talked Okabe into going into the past. So since that scene happened differently, where he's like, fuck this, I'm done.
Also in the majority of the first timeline, or the first series, is the Alpha World line, where Kurisu is alive, and the only reason Kagari exists is because Kurisu is dead.
True. Because without Kurisu being dead, there is no Amadeus.
Yeah.
Fair. Did not think about that originally.
Yeah, so even in the one moment where
to save one life, we must get rid of another.
Yeah, even in the one moment where we go back to the other world line, Kurisu isn't dead yet.
Or at all.
Well, I think he goes into that timeline, witnesses her death once. So the fallout of everything else never happens.
That's true.
Well, yeah, it's...
We never get Maho. That's the biggest crime, though.
Well, yeah, we never get Maho.
We would have got Maho eventually.
Maho.
If Okabe said no.
She still exists, we just didn't see her.
Yeah, she's in America.
Did you see... you guys know Steins Gate, is in line with a bunch of other series,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like Chaos Head, Robotic
yeah.
Notes.
Yeah, so the newest Robotic Child. Notes series that's coming out, it takes place a decade after Steins Gate. And I was just like, oh, neat.
Maybe a teacher named Maho.
No, there's an adult Daru. 28-year-old Daru. And I'm like, oh, Yon Kiyoma.
Right? So you just see in the background someone posing, like, the Chosen One.
Chosen One. I miss that movie. I'm so mad we got robbed of the sequel.
Yeah.
Just that one.
Oh, no.
Never forget the intermission of, I have a yellow substitute for butter for your popcorn.
All right.
That's
from Captain Marvel to Shaolin.
Kung Pao.
Yeah, Kung Pao.
So speaking of other characters coming back, like Miss Marvel... Superior Spider-Man gets a new title.
Superior
Spider-Man. We're talking Otto Octavius inside the mind of Peter Parker.
So here's the rundown. So Otto Octavius will return as Superior Spider-Man in a brand new ongoing series. In the series, Octavius will once again take on his identity as Spider-Man to fight an seemingly unbeatable foe. So writer Christos Gage, who wrote a lot with Dan Slott back then during the Superior era, and artist Mike Hawthorne will launch the series following the October 7th Superior Octopus one-shot, which focuses on Otto's other recent costume identity. So Otto's still in the perfect clone body from Clone Conspiracy, but he's like, fuck this, I can't be associated as the Superior Octopus anymore because, hey, the not-Nazi hate group Hydra... made me, so I have to become something better. Spider-Man again. So not only do we have Peter and Miles and Miguel running around as Spider-Man, we now have Octavius running around as Spider-Man, including Spider-Gwen, Silk, Scarlet Spider-Kane, Scarlet Spider-Ben Reilly. Well, there's 8 spider people and 5 of them operate in New York City.
Spider-Ham from Every Now and Again.
And Venom.
Yeah,
Venom's out there running around too.
Yeah, so the Superior Spider-Man number one, Otto Octavius, leaves the moniker of Dr. Octopus behind and once again becomes the Superior Spider-Man. If you think you've read the most intense and surprisingly heartbreaking Superior Spider-Man story, prepare to be wrong. Otto is going to prove to the world that he's the most efficient, and to him at least, the best superhero in the world. But when a villain that overpowers him by so much shows up in San Francisco, there's no way Oc can win, right? Can you see Otto smirking from where you're reading this?
So are they just doing the thing that movies are with the quasi clickbait taglines? Like with The Nun, they're like, you shouldn't see this movie alone. Fuck you.
You want me to buy 2 tickets to this film?
Say, remember when Mother was like, you'll remember where you were when you saw this movie. Yeah, I was sitting in a shitty movie.
Yeah, I think I blacked out during that movie. Just like, I came to and I'm like...
What is this about? Oh, fuck, it was the Bible.
Oh, it's the shitty Cliff Notes of the Bible.
Oh.
You guys didn't watch that movie.
No,
I did.
I read I read the Wikipedia description.
Yeah, I know, you watched it for
and
us.
I felt like I killed a few brain cells reading it.
I still feel that way reading The Mummy, the latest reboot.
The Mummy was good!
But then
Tom Cruise
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yes, because they were setting up the Dooku.
which bombed.
It's probably not going to exist.
They put all that money into a new title card for the Dark Universe and used it once. They were going all in, and it could have been good.
I feel like if they called it anything other than The Mummy, people would have went and watched it.
Yeah, they should have called it like The Curse of the Mummy or something.
It's like, yeah, this is a reboot of the original Mummy movie. It's like, fuck you, Brendan Fraser is amazing.
If they had waited, if they had waited a little under a year for that like story of the sarcophagus with like the
black goo,
it's like, boom, there's your origin plot. Go with that. Make something they real have someone horrifying.
Just like strapped to a chair, trying to predict the future, and just having like. Just twitching and vibrating in their seats, like, I have an idea. Yeah. It's the black goo. It's like, okay, we're going to do it a year before whatever the fuck you saw. How much LSD did you give him? None. He's vibrating on his own.
They don't need to strap someone to a chair. Come on. They just need to use Minority Report precogs.
Oh, they Civil exist. War 2? We all saw how Civil War 2 went. Except the characters themselves.
They pretty much just did Marvel Minority Report.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we've already confirmed
this.
Yeah, it's Zach and I.
We've gone over this.
This was Zach and I in his old apartment arguing with each other. I was actually on Team Iron Man for once, and he was on Team Captain Marvel.
I was like, all right.
Man, that went downhill. Like,
oh, no, now they're just both being dicks. Fuck this, I'm out.
Tony was the lesser of the dicks.
They're still both dicks.
Same with Otto Octavius. But I just... don't understand why he has to be Superior Spider-Man again. Like, he could have been the Superior
because
Octopus.
Because the name.
He wants to bring up the Spider-Man moniker again, and then he's Doc Ock. He's full of himself. He's going to be superior.
There's three, four Spider-Men running around.
Right, and
at least
he's
in
superior.
San Fran. He's in San Fran. That's great. He's not in New York where everyone else is.
Issue 3, he's going to go to New York.
I must fight Peter Parker.
It's like, I got beat. I need to go to New York City.
Fuck.
Thwip.
Thwap.
Thwippity
thwip. The arrow. Hawkeye comes to save the day. Just like in Avengers 4.
Ronin.
Anyways.
Remember when he was on everyone's mind for Avengers Infinity War?
Where's Hawkeye?
It's like, where the fuck's Ronin?
Here's a throwaway line. He did a deal.
Maybe he'll come back later.
His entire family probably got murdered by the snap.
Yeah, probably. And that's why he's going to come back.
We're past point of spoilers, right?
We have to be.
Okay. Absolutely.
It's been, what, since May?
It's going to be May. Okay. So, Toymaker Mattel, speaking of
battle
toys, will launch a film division named Mattel Films, which will focus on developing movies based on their various toy lines, which include what, Steve? Give me, like, the top four.
I'm trying to think of what Mattel owns, but I keep coming up with like, Hasbro things.
Yeah, I almost said Power Rangers. I'm like, wait, no, that's Hasbro.
I was about
Hasbro.
To say G.I. Joe, but like, nope, that's Hasbro.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of what the fuck Mattel owns.
What are those car things?
Hot Wheels?
Hot Wheels?
Hot Wheels is one.
Battle Force 5, live action movie. Do it, you cowards.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, oh, so they're going to do Fast and Furious. Got it.
Remember when Need for Speed happened and that was just...
Barbie.
Barbie, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Thundercats.
Thunder! Thunder! But who's going to play Lion-O?
There were rumors of Ryan Reynolds playing Lion-O.
Vin Diesel can be Panthro.
The bald guy.
Yes. The big jacked bald guy. Either that or The Rock.
The other one is Masters of the Universe.
He-Man.
Yay!
So, Mattel...
Wait, no, no, no. We don't need another live-action He-Man. Master of the Universe was enough for me with Dolph Lundgren.
He has the power!
So Mattel is home to one of the world's greatest portfolios of beloved franchises, and the creation of Mattel Films will allow us to unlock significant value across our IP. Robbie, who is... someone.
But let's be real,
is gifted storyteller
still being sold.
And a highly respected filmmaker with deep relations in entertainment. She is perfect. Leader. She is the perfect leader to bring our celebrated brands to life. Where the fuck did they mention Robbie in this article? It's literally the next paragraph, and there's nothing with someone named Robbie.
Oh, yeah, of course. Robbie. You don't know Robbie?
Yeah. So Mattel Films will be... okay. Mattel Films will be headed by producer Robbie Brenner, who was nominated for an Oscar for the film Dallas Buyers Club. Generations of children around the world have grown up with deep emotional connections to Mattel brands and characters. There are so many stories to be told and so many imaginations to be captured by these iconic brands, and I am looking forward to working with Yanan and his team to do so. So, Hot Wheels the movie is Fast and Furious. We will eventually get a G.I. Joe movie. Or, not G.I. Joe. Masters of the Universe film. That will be decent. Chris Pine as He-Man.
Are we talking like Adam or He-Man?
Why not both?
Because that would be a lot of CG muscles on Chris Pine.
Well, he doesn't need to be that jacked.
It's He-Man.
Spider-Man's not that jacked.
It's He-Man.
Shazam's not that jacked.
It's He-Man.
He just wears Shazam clothes.
He doesn't wear a shirt.
They can armor him up. When I saw this article originally, it's like, yes, famous Mattel brands like Thomas the Tank Engine. I'm like, it's just like a dark, gritty reboot.
This is the bass boosted Thomas the Tank Engine
theme. My name is Thomas the Tank Engine. It's been 10 years since the Tankpocalypse.
He's no longer a train. They're just all conductors on their trains, and they're having, like, death races.
It'll be like Thomas the Tank Engine. Then Engine will get scribbled out to be Thomas the Tank.
It's like Mattel. It's not Mattel.
It's all Tank Metals.
It's, shit, what's the... It's Metro.
Yes,
but they're conductors Exodus. On the trains. It's Metro Exodus. Or what's that other movie? The Immortal something, the Immortal Engines, where it's like the City of England's on wheels.
Or yeah,
my God, it's got a creepy ass face.
Yeah,
or it's like Cabaneri with the Iron Fortress.
They've awoken like these ancient gods named Thomas.
Yeah. No, they do Tokuger with Thomas the Tank Engine characters. Just the trains.
What
about one
what
mech.
If it's what is it that. Death, tra- or Death train, Race. Train to Busan.
Oh, God. That movie's so good.
It's still on my watch list.
Tokuger, by the way, Zach. So they form the Megazord out of different trains. And then from the chest...
Well, yeah, the Red Ranger, so the train comes and then folds up. And then one of the moves they have to use to bust out like this cocoon thing is they take the front train. So the way it goes is the Red Train forms... Like, the head is down where the feet is. And then it folds up to the chest. So the move it has to use to bust out a cocoon, they need something to just like pile drive through something. They take the chest, and it just goes straight forward. So if the folding point is the crotch, Zach, where does it unfold?
And that's the story of why that didn't get adapted in America.
Oh my God.
Plus the whole fact that it's like, all the main characters get turned into kids, and that's why the show's like really immature. It's like, oh, they're just little kids. They don't know what they're doing. Like,
and all of their powers are run by the power of imagination.
They turn a character into like a little minuscule like action figure-esque thing, and then the White Ranger, I think, or the Pink Ranger gets like a little toy mallet hammer and starts like destroying the character. It's great.
See, now I'm trying to think of like a good Thundercats cast.
Ryan Reynolds is Lion-O.
I don't know if he'd do a good if he'd be good at Lion-O.
What about Danny DeVito as Lion-O?
No, Danny DeVito would be Snarf. Come on.
Oh yes. Yeah,
let's be fucking real here.
Snarf.
Matt Mercer needs to be like, I know I keep going back to Matt Mercer, but he did such a good job as Tigra in the animated series that just put him in the makeup. Make him Tigra again.
So
Scarlett Johansson as Cheetah.
What's happened is that Michael Bay is actually directing a film called Six Underground, and a lot of people are thinking this is like a cover-up name for the Thundercats film, because the scriptwriter is Rhett Reese, who does a lot of work with Ryan Reynolds. So someone tweeted at them, it's like, hey, is Six Underground secretly Thundercats? And Reynolds just replies, ridiculous.
Okay, so Ryan Reynolds is Lion-O. Vin Diesel / The Rock as Panthro.
It's just both of them. Like, they cut out one scene, it's Vin Diesel, and then they cut out the other scene, it's The Rock.
I take that back. Vin Diesel and The Rock as Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat. Just CG them down to children's size. Name's Wile E. Kit, and I'm Wile E. Cat.
So one of them a girl.
Yes. That's what makes it even funnier.
And then Danny DeVito comes in as Snarf.
Okay, I'm looking at the original.
Oh, Snarf, Snarf!
So Lion-O. Tigra.
Matt Mercer.
Okay, Matt Mercer's Tigra. Panthro.
I'd say Vin Diesel probably get a better Panthro. He's a little more proportionate.
I was going to say Tom Hardy. Just put Tom Hardy in everything that requires a buff dude.
Put him on a Bane mask. And
or Arnie Hammer.
The nice Panthro.
It's like, you can leave
now. Chitara. Zoe Saldana. Because we already have Zoe Saldana as the badass sword person in Guardians.
Yeah, just give her a staff. And...
Or
Daisy Ridley.
Wait.
No, who played Okio in Black Panther? General lady?
Oh, Michonne?
Yeah, Michonne.
Okay.
Have heard Nakia. Of,
wait.
Nakia.
I've got it. Tom Holland and Zendaya.
No, Okoye.
Yeah, her.
Tom Holland and Zendaya as Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat.
It's really awkward since they're dating.
It would be, but...
Yeah, twin siblings. All right. It's Tom Holland and Zendaya. Who's going to be Jaga? The Jaguar one.
Well, he's also the old mentor, so Michael Caine.
I was going to say Jeremy Irons.
So both Alfreds.
Yeah. What about Lynxo?
She was in the new series, wasn't she?
And in the original.
Was she?
Yeah. He, by the way.
Thought Lynxo was a girl.
No, Lynxo's a dude. Voiced by Doug Price in the original, and then Kevin Michael Richardson in 2011.
Who was the character that had the other female cat person in the new series?
Pumiera. Who's that also name. In the original series.
But who would be Mum-Ra?
I always get Mum-Ra and Skeletor vaguely confused.
How do you get Mum-Ra and Skeletor confused?
Because they're both dead. Vaguely confused. Because okay, Thundercats always came on after He-Man.
Yes, but which He-Man is like has that certain style.
With Skeletor!
Vaguely confused. If you could tell me to describe an episode confusion. Of Thundercats or Masters of the Universe, I wouldn't be able to, unless we're talking about like the 2003 reboot of Masters of the Universe.
Look, just because He-Man has a cat doesn't mean they're just the same.
Didn't they have a team-up like in the 90s cartoon?
They probably did, for all we know.
They had a team-up in the comics. They had a Thundercats-He-Man crossover that I read a couple issues of.
Okay, we're just going to move on. Oh, speaking of live action, did you hear who's going to play Dr. Robotnik?
Who?
You ready for this?
Maybe.
Remember, this is a live-action adaptation of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Hold on, let me just get in my mind frame of imagining a real hedgehog, colored blue.
With an echidna.
With a red echidna, a fox with a second tail.
It's duct-taped on.
A pink hedgehog for Amy.
Is Amy a hedgehog?
Yes. And then a black hedgehog with red stripes for Shadow.
And then a robotic hedgehog.
And then metal, yeah, a little... Oh my god, that's even better. A little tiny robotic hedgehog.
I want to imagine it's like... Those toys back from the early 2000s that like played MP3s.
Yeah. Because everything played MP3s for no reason.
Because it had just like a dog bone for eyes.
Oh, God, yes.
That's what Mecha Shadow or Mecha Sonic's going to look like. All right. So, who do you think would play Dr. Robotnik?
I know whoever I'm going to say is going to be wrong.
It is. Zach, you could play this game too.
A good Dr. Robotnik. Depending on the tone of the movie,
John Goodman.
I could see Zach Galifianakis maybe doing it. But go ahead, Zach, shatter my worldview.
So, let's start by saying Ben Schwartz is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay. He's way past cool.
He's way past what?
Way past cool. That's one of Sonic's things. Okay. You're too slow. Way past cool.
James Marsden is the police James officer. Marsden.
Yeah, he's the live-action person who I just assume.
Why? Why did you accept this?
Runs after a little...
He's going to be like in the race car.
Little hedgehog.
And playing Dr. Eggman, a.k.a. Ivo Robotnik, who are actually two different characters
they
in
really
the Sonic
are.
Comics.
Yeah, Robotnik is Eggman's grandfather.
Jim Carrey.
What?
Fucking what?
You know what the best part is? This was announced in July.
I'm fucking sorry.
I don't think this movie's going to be good anyway, but what?
Jim Carrey as Robotnik?
Remember, this is a live-action CGI adaptation. So let's all imagine Jim Carrey stuffing his shirt with a pillow.
What?
But why?
Why? I still wish this just wasn't a thing, but it's going to be.
I'm going to go fucking see it because it's going to be fucking bonkers. But Jim Carrey?
It's like the comic thing. It's like, oh man, a Venom movie. This is going to be awesome. Oh man, Tom Hardy's in this. This is going to be great. First trailer drops. All right, expectations are a little bit lower.
Okay.
But just imagine Ben Schwartz and Jim Carrey face to face.
I swear by all that is holy, if Sonic does not say you're too slow once in the movie, I will demand my money back.
Here's the thing. He's going to say it one too many times during that movie.
I will go to the customer service desk, but I want my money back for Sonic the Hedgehog the movie. Why? He didn't say you're too slow.
See, what I really want to with...
he doesn't say gotta go fast. I swear by all that is holy.
What I need more than the gotta go fast or anything, I just need Ben Schwartz to go do a... Chili Dogs, Jean Ralphio.
Oh, God.
Chili Dogs?
Chili Dogs. And then just get, like, run over by a car. Because that would make perfect sense. He's the size of an actual hedgehog in our canon.
Wait. So, yeah, he gets run over by a car. And then that's how he gets to become fast. Is they surgically
It's a toxic tire.
No, they finally, like, oh, my God, this hedgehog's going to die. Wait. We can use him for Project Sonic. Just implant things in him. That's like,
they're going to try and make this thing dramatic.
He's got tiny little robotic feet that make him go fast.
Remember when they made the Ratchet & Clank movie and then they're like, yeah, here's a video game to go along with it that has cutscenes from the movie. And it's just like, didn't you do it the other way around?
The Ratchet & Clank movie was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and I'm excited for the Sly Cooper movie. But why a live-action Sonic movie? I love Sonic as much as the next guy. But do we really need a live-action thing with James Marsden and apparently Jim Carrey as Eggman / Robotnik?
We're cool on Ben Schwartz?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay.
Ben Schwartz is Sonic.
That's the only one that makes any sense right now.
I need to know,
yeah, okay.
If they're going to do Tails, who plays Tails? And then give me my favorite character, Knuckles, and don't make him a moron.
Knuckles is going to be in the sequel.
That's the only way they can justify it. It's the end credit scene. No, just someone punching a wall.
The end credit scene is going to be Metal Sonic or Shadow. Let's be real.
Just someone going Super Saiyan.
As long as they don't do the Werehog, we'll be fine.
Do you think he'll get the Chaos Emeralds and go Super Sonic?
I'm so bothered by the fact that Sonic's only macked on a human princess girl in the Sonic thing.
No, that was 06.
It's the animated series that happened.
No, it was Sonic 06 that he...
Was it?
Yeah, the princess... Or no, he was... gonna die, so the princess macked on him to save his life.
And they blossom into a beautiful relationship with beautiful abomination children.
Nope, they never talk about it again.
Or so we think.
The Werehog, he had the tiny little fairy thing that apparently was the guardian of the planet, turned into a giant stone statue and threw him back into Earth. Through the crust of the Earth.
Someone did that game much better many years earlier, called Twilight Princess. We didn't need the Sonic.
Yeah. We didn't.
But Chili Dogs.
But how would you get Chili Dogs in medieval times?
It wasn't in medieval times. That was Sonic and the Black Knight.
Sorry. Excuse my lack of Sonic lore.
Come on.
Oh my God.
We're talking the Wii titles. It's Sonic and the Secret Rings, Sonic and the Black Knight are one series. Sonic Unleashed is its own thing. Sonic Unleashed has the Werehog. The other twos don't. The other one is Sonic goes into Arthurian times, where Knuckles is Lancelot.
Zack is dying on the inside.
Sonic gets Excalibur and becomes like a golden knight at the very end.
Excuse me, motherfucker, what?
Yes, Sonic gets Excalibur that talks to him. Amy is Merlin. No, sorry. Shadow was Lancelot. Knuckles was Gawain.
Gawain.
Oh, I thought it was Gawain.
Did the pops come through the mic?
Yeah, they did.
That was my attempt at killing myself. There. It's my ASMR for the day.
All right, well.
So the last topic of today's Z2 podcast
is the Sonic Anthology. Let me go over everything in detail.
So, unfortunately, there is a... Mother Nature just needs to leave Japan alone for like a year.
Yeah.
6.4?
6.6.
Not even a year. Just leave Japan alone at this point. You've done enough.
See, here's the thing. Madoka's not there. This was actually Wolpergeist or whatever the fuck the final boss was in the original series.
Something German.
Yeah. But so they delayed the Nintendo Direct that was supposed to come out due to respect for families and everything else.
Because video games aren't the most important thing in the world.
This is coming from Jason Schreier of Kotaku, because of course it is. He's like the only reporter at Kotaku, I feel like. He breaks all the big news.
Yeah, because that's what he likes to do.
Yeah. So three titles that may or may not have been part of that Nintendo Switch release direct were released. Not even accidentally.
It was bound to happen just because it was so last minute.
I feel like it was also the companies being like, we're going to announce these anyways. They'll probably still be on the direct, but we want to get word out there, especially for one of them coming out in November. I can see how they want to, like, if they don't have a
They're just delayed. They're still going to have a direct fairly soon. But
they haven't announced a day or a time yet.
My guess is it's probably going to be this upcoming week.
I can see the company being like, we just want to get word out there now. And then they could talk about it more in the direct.
Right.
Yep. So the first title that was announced was Final Fantasy XV Pocket Edition, which also came out to Xbox and PS4.
Which that's probably why they announced it. It's releasing on the consoles, so it's coming to Switch too.
The Switch Edition, as always, will come to follow later. Capcom, during surprise release, the Mega Man 11 on Switch demo, which you just found on Xbox today.
Fuck yeah.
And it was like... It was supposed to be like the bombshell of the direct. It's out now, but people are finding it in other ways.
I just found it randomly, like scrolling through like demos. Mega Man 11.
Yep. Then 2K Games said that Civ 6 is coming to Switch on November 16th, except something's a little off. There's been no press release or social media announcement, just a listing on the website with a trailer that isn't live yet.
Interesting.
So it's...
I wonder if they maybe... scheduled something to go up, and then when the direct got delayed, it's they're like, oh shit, too late.
Yep, so there's all of that jazz there. So, man, Civ 6 on Switch. Switch's battery life can't support it.
But see, Zach, we've had this discussion. There's this magical thing called a save function, and you don't have to play a game of Civ in one sitting.
Yeah, you do.
You don't have to. You choose to. But you don't have to.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You can save and come back to it later.
I don't think that's possible.
You can also plug in your Switch to a battery and go on a marathon session like you probably will.
It's entirely plausible.
I'm just going to be waiting. Like, I'm going to be sitting in the living room with you playing something else, and all I hear is, fuck you, Gandhi!
And remember, let's all know that's an accident. That was a developer bug that made Gandhi super hostile.
It makes it all the better. And it's like Gandhi's like hacked the AI. It's like, I can be unleashed now.
Gandhi's actually Monica from Doki Doki Literature Club.
Monica, sorry.
What did I say? Monica. I don't know. That's her hentai counterpart.
Next, you're going to be telling me the other ones are Yurai and Natsuki. Oh, dude, Natsuki.
I know Natsuki. She's the meme. I mean, Siri.
Natsuki was too pure for everything that happened.
Yeah. Just really, yeah. Okay. But I don't know if you guys saw this news. It's regarding the Nintendo Switch Online. It's another step backwards because there are certain games that will not allow cloud saves.
Yeah. Yep.
Including Pokemon, Splatoon 2.
Which their reasoning was like weird. Like they're like, oh yeah, people can save scum in a multiplayer game. I'm just like, how?
Pokemon.
I mean, yeah, Pokemon, sure. But I mean, that's part of the game we've known this for. It also doesn't prevent you from save scumming on your local. So it's like, what the point? What's the fucking point of
that? Well, the thing is if you're locally trading, so like I trade all my stars to Steve.
Oh, and then
I can just load my cloud save and still retain everything.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so there's the high probability of people cheating.
Yeah, it's like making the cloud backup, locally trading. Like, you got all of the legendaries, but this person doesn't. Trade them over, load your save, you both have all the legendaries.
Especially if they do transfer Pokemon over and have my Legion the skies.
Yeah, what seems weird, though, is it's like, how have you not figured out how to do, like, like how Sony does it, where you literally have to go and upload your save and it saves it that state. That would prevent all of this.
And that's what Xbox does too.
Yeah. It's just Xbox does on the fly. I think Sony, you might have an option to do it automatically or.
Yeah. Like, I know every time I log into Steve's profile and play a game downstairs and then I go up to do mine, it loads the cloud right then and there.
It's like, it seems like Nintendo doesn't have this figured out, which is concerning.
Let's be real. $20 for a year. Still, I'm not necessarily complaining, but
it's like when
when
the PlayStation 3 got hacked and people were a little upset, but they're like, I wasn't paying for it, so I don't know what I expected.
I don't think it'd be as big an issue as if you could actually, you know, save your games onto an SD card like we all want.
But Zach,
that way,
how would they play Civ for 10 hours?
That way, like, because the main point everybody wants cloud saves is because when we inevitably get the second version of the Switch, or your Switch dies or gets bricked when you send it in for repairs, like so many horror stories.
I was going to say, I want to send mine in to get the screen fixed because from day one, it's been off and now it's chipped because it's easy to chip because it's an edge poking up. But when I went to go put in a request, like, all of your saves might get erased.
Just like,
I'm good, I'll hold on to it for now.
And you don't give users a fucking way to back up their saves on everything. And it's just like, Nintendo, what in the fuck? Like, your reasoning makes no sense. It's you're gonna save scum. We don't want that.
It's the issue with the 3DS era, where it's like, all right, you're gonna copy everything to your SD card, so when you make the transfer from one DS to the other, everything transfers. But that's not where your game data is.
Nope.
Because it's on the cartridges, or it's in our magical space, and it's like, all right, transfer your data now, and it's a cute little Pikmin animation that takes 3,000 years to load.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, all your games are saved in the or you can just download it games whenever, but that data better be on that original Switch.
Or it's like how they used to do with the DS, where it's like, you want to go from one DS to another, you need both of them at the same time.
So Steve has to buy his Switch XL, and then by then his warranty on his other Switch is going to be out.
Oh no, it's already out. Nintendo does a year warranty.
Yeah, it's like, I'm probably still going to end up buying it just for most of the cloud saves, but at the same point, it's just like, can we fucking get a firmware update to save them on goddamn SD cards, please?
No.
Like, why is that so hard?
Because then maybe it's like every single company has to go out and like update their game to do it.
But it's just a file location. That's it. Like, that's all you have to do is just allow us to fucking move our save files.
Yeah. Do you guys want to hear like the most depressing meme ever? Or the most depressing Easter egg?
I guess.
Has been discovered in Spider-Man. So,
unlike the greatest Easter egg, which is shirtless Spider-Man.
Yeah, shirtless Spider-Man's amazing. So this guy, and I think I saw this on Reddit earlier.
Is it the Gwen Stacy thing?
No.
Okay.
It's the saddest Easter egg ever, because this guy tweeted on Insomniac Games like a while ago. He was like, hey, Insomniac, my girlfriend wants me to propose to her in a big way, like at a comic convention or something.
Oh, no.
I want to do something crazier than that and bigger than that.
Oh, no.
So he and Insomniac hashed out some details, and in front of one of the movie theaters in the game, on the marquee, it says, Maddie, will you marry me? Unfortunately, the two of them broke up like 2 weeks beforehand. She's starting to go out with his brother. So,
don't tell me the brother allegedly used the Easter egg.
But he made like a whole YouTube video, and it's like, it would have been the sweetest thing ever. Kotaku has it. This article is coming from Cameron Kunzelman. So Tyler at Top Notch 1210, at Spidey Squad, or at Even Philarka and hashtag Spice Squad, I need your help. This may be selfish, but I want to propose to my girlfriend and want to do it in a big way. At Insomniac Games, at Brian in Hithar, at Bill Roseman, is there a way you can put an Easter egg of Madison, will you marry me, anywhere in the game? So there's a lot of back and forth, and Schultz has claimed that his girlfriend broke up with him a few weeks before the game released.
No.
So he uploaded a video of him being like sleep deprived, saying that he and Madison, who the proposal was directed to, broke up, and to use his exact words, she dumped him to go with his brother. Very dramatic story, full of ups and downs. Okay. Update at 5:12 today. Okay. The idea that she left him for his brother is actually in dispute. In a message to Kotaku, Maddie said that the new relationship with his brother began after the breakup. But, ouch. So now Insomniacs is going to update the game with the...
I was going to say, like, yeah, just take the painful reminder away.
Yeah, so he said, hey, can you actually update the game and make it a tribute to my grandmother? Who passed away from cancer and helped ignite Schultz's passion for Spider-Man. Aww. She gave him his first Spider-Man comic book as well as a copy of Amazing Fantasy 15. So, wonder what the CGC on that is. But it's like, it's the saddest thing ever. Yeah. And none of us have been playing Spider-Man because we're all super busy. The two of you are playing Destiny. I'm playing Rainbow Six. That's all. And I'm trying to fix my computer. It had a stroke.
It's terrible. I thought you were gonna, because someone posted in CCBE, it was, I don't know if it was like a promotional thing from Spider-Man or what, but it was Spider-Man just on the subway holding a phone, and someone like took the picture. Be like, I don't like this picture. Spider-Man has no case on his phone. He's just standing on a train with his phone, and someone commented like, you think Spider-Man's gonna drop his phone? Someone commented, well, he dropped Gwen Stacy.
Oh. Well, if you think about it, Spider-Sense, you can avoid dropping his phone.
He's just got the sticky hands.
Yeah, I was going to say,
he's got number two. Adhesive hands. He doesn't need to worry about.
Yeah.
And even if he drops it, Spider-Sense, flip.
But let's be real. He doesn't have a screen protector either. But let's imagine the ingenuity. Yeah, the he could thing. Touch his screen through his suit.
The other thing they put on there is like, he developed a suit that he could still swipe on his phone.
Think about how many winter gloves you have that ability that they barely never work. Anyways, so, this brings us to him, Tusky, does it not?
It does, but I think we'll save it for next week when we hopefully have Jim on for the pre-recorded one.
Special guest.
I mean, technically, these are all pre-recorded.
But the pre-recorded one for when I'm out of the country.
We're going to pre-record the pre-recording.
Yes, it'll be like, it'll be a different, it won't be a new show, it'll just be kind of just...
Just wait, it'll be like some huge thing happens and we have to like... And Zach's statement on Facebook is, holy shit, WTF, what? Oh my god.
Like, Cyberpunk releases tomorrow. Just like, holy fuck, what the fuck? You Zach's see buying fuck, like fuck, a region, fuck,
regional
fuck.
Computer.
Just, now he's going to call his family and I'll be like, I'm not coming. Bye.
No, you fuckers, play that game. I will kill you. It just comes home and we spoil it. It's like a banner. Like, instead of like a happy birthday banner, it's just like Cyberpunk 2077 and it's a long script.
Release date.
No, it's like, instead of welcome home, it's Snape kills Dumbledore, but the Cyberpunk version of it. Like, son of a bitch!
Don't think we would live from that one. As much as we mess with Zach.
I mean, it's like if you somehow found out the ending of Kingdom Hearts before I got to play it and you spoiled it for me, I would murder you in your sleep.
Probably.
No, not even sleep. I want you to know it's coming.
You want to see it happen.
I would probably tie you down, wake you up, and let you know that it's happening.
It's like the...
I'd smother you with the banner that says it.
I really enjoy like that scene from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's like, Santiago, more like Iago for betraying me.
It's like, wow. I'm surprised you read Othello. Othello, I was just talking about the bird from Aladdin.
Oh, yeah. The parrot from
it. Okay, I think that's everything, and I know next week I'll just walk away from the microphone when we start talking about him, Tusky's question.
I gave you a brief rundown when you came.
You did. I asked a lot of questions, and I don't remember what happened. And during brunch today, I just totally fucking spaced.
It's like I told you, Snape kills Dumbledore.
Yeah, Angelica and I are just sitting there, and it's like, oh, are they talking about Destiny again? And I have to like listen to keywords. I'm like, yes.
Yes, they are.
Okay. So anyways, thank you for listening to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends come together and talk about random things, like how we're 19% of the way from beating Overcooked. 19%. And then we have to go back and collect all the 3 stars. But 100%ing, Zach. Some of those. When was the last time you 100%ed in a game?
A while. Well, no, God of War.
It'll feel real good when you 100%.
God of War was satisfying because fuck those Valkyries.
Real good when you 100%. So good.
Oh my god, it'll feel so good.
I'm uncomfortable now.
Oh god, yes. I didn't go that far. So thank you guys for listening. And We did get 300 gamer scores today.
Oh, those achievements.
I'm very uncomfortable.
I'm going to go attempt to fix my computer. So you can leave us a comment. We can communicate that way. You can message us on Facebook or Twitter or
ZUTpodcast.com/comment.
Oh shit, it's 420
like
just played.
The amazing boo. Him Tusky, who will one day get like a special shirt, maybe just because it's
just,
like
just
the
says,
number.
Who is he?
I mean, we still need to make Jim's number one jersey.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll make Tim a number two jersey and then we'll make a 2.5 for him Tusky.
Yeah. And we'll have the embroidered pillow. We'll always have brunch. We were supposed to play D&D today, it didn't happen. But we had brunch and overcooked instead.
And in our chat discussing the brunch says we'll still have brunch.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. And leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, the Google Podcasting Service, or any major podcasting services near you. And we'll see you later. We're actually going to record the new episode right now.
No, love you, Internet. For next week.